Mayor Nichols, distinguished guests, friends, and students. Today is an historic day for Seattle schools in the city of Seattle. I am honored to stand here in the stead of any number of people who, as artists and scientists, labor every day with a singular purpose, the enrichment and affirmation of all of our lives is worthy of the highest art and the highest possibility. We have gathered to dedicate this school to the continued work of the Seattle Public Schools. It is a magnificent environment. In another guise, it is a temple, a palace, a monument dedicated to the preservation and promotion of the cultural values of the society that we live in. It is also a challenge and an invitation to those students who wish to dedicate their study to the arts and the science. It is a testament to the value of their vocation. And when we look back at this day, we will see in Seattle, a city engaging its civic pride with confidence, a city that has become a sterling example as one who recognizes the arts as a vital part of human life and its contributions to our sense of well-being as Americans. There are many people here today who have valued, volunteered, investigated, probed, pushed, and otherwise provoked the Center School into being. I salute you. You are visionaries in the best American spirit of the farmer who looked out over the cracked earth and the hard scrambled landscape and saw the amber waves of grain and the fruited plains so beloved in our song and mythology. You not only saw what was possible, but what was necessary. You understood that art is the engaging of life at its zenith, that it speaks in most urgent terms of what it means to be human, and that science speaks in terms equally as urgent as to what humanity means to nature. I salute you. The field of wheat and corn does not come into being without hard work and perseverance and faith in one's ability and the rightness of one's task. As I look out over the audience, I notice that some of you are the rear guard of a people who arrived in America searching for freedom from political tyranny and religious oppression. And that some of you are the rare guard of a people who arrived in America seeking opportunity to fulfill the highest possibilities of life. And some of you, like myself, are the rare guard of a people who arrived in America chained and malnourished in the hold of a 350-ton Portuguese or Dutch or British vessel. We have all shared a common history as Americans. We can all trace our ancestry back to a ship's log or an airline manifest. We are all a testament to the strength of the American character and a testament to the resiliency of the human spirit. We are all pioneers. We are all trailblazers, for that is the American character, to forge the new. We are heirs to a great faith, a great belief in man's ability to render out of his experience the truth of a high and indelible purpose and to govern himself with a new manner of government, bold and emblazoned with the high ideals of human conduct. And we are part of a long line of people who embrace that faith and who wrestled the meaning of the word American from sometimes stubborn and unyielding realities and learned to wear it and embrace it with a love worthy of its complexities. To stand and to sit here now is to occupy the ground that they have pioneered, heroes and scoundrels alike. Art is made out of the spiritual resources of the people who create it. Out of their experiences, the sacred and the profane, is made a record of their transverse and the many points of epiphany and redemption. And by examining the record, we can measure with surety our condition and the perils that threaten our survival. Art empowers and provokes a sense of self that speeds development and progress in all areas of life and endeavor. And it has proven itself to be a powerful force in our understanding of the nature of human conduct, its noble action, and its profound failures. It has guided us to a better place and points us always to an inspiring future. And as I look out at the students, I see you are in the flush of abundance, an abundance of health, an abundance of energy, passion, and idealism. You are in the flush of intelligence and the flush of youth. Your presence here is a testament to the flower and fruit of your parents and teachers, their work, their dedication, their sacrifices, and their belief in your talents and its unlimited possibility. I came here today to talk about art and science, to talk about how you have discovered with art a wonderful companion. You have discovered a way of defining yourself, a way of defining the world. And I wanted to talk about how, if you are going to participate in the creation of art and the discoveries of science, that you must be uncompromising in everything, your art, your research, the principles by which you live your life. Life is a process of self-discovery. And to live it as an artist is to be willing to face the deepest parts of yourself, to wrestle with your demons until your spirit becomes larger and stronger and the demons smaller and smaller. I want to encourage you to have a belief in yourself that is larger than anyone's disbelief, to do the best work that you are capable of, and then to push a little beyond that. I want to talk about how your talent, your truths, your beliefs in yourself are all in your hands, and what you make of it will emerge from the self in the baptismal spray that names and defines. Creating art is like walking down the landscape of the self, exploring what D.H. Lawrence called the dark forest of the soul. You will find the false trails, roads closed for repairs, impregnable fortresses, armies of memory and impossible cartography. And this is a place where the cartographers labor day and night remaking the maps. The road is sometimes welcoming, and its wide passages offer endearment with each step, only to narrow to a footpath that has left you boatless to the edge of a vast and encompassing ocean. And occasionally, if you are willing to negotiate the perils, you will arrive stronger, brighter of spirit to a place that sprouts yams and bowls of cotton at your footfall. As high school students faced with how little you know about life, you profess to know everything. And what you know most assuredly is that you are going to live until you die. And what you have almost without knowing it is a sense of immortality that allows you to approach the minefields with the blind faith of innocence and the assurance of an unimpeachable spirit that rivals St. George in his willingness to slay the dragon. I envy you that. I remember it well. You will come later to find out that that landscape of the self is all that you have to make art out of. A good deal of your education will be spent in enlarging that self and adding to your spiritual resources. To enlarge the self is to enlarge the sayable. It's all about you, your reordering of the world, your discovery of who you are as you rub up against ideas in the natural process of living life. What have you learned? How can you say that? How can you make your ideas concrete? How finally can you enlarge the sayable? Art is a way not only of discovering that self, but expressing it. That's how you find out who you are and what you have to say, by saying it. What you discover may startle you, may please you, may puzzle you, may confuse you, it may enrich and enlighten you. You are your own life force. You are attached to systems of family and society, but you are your own star. And when you burn out alone. And if you take the journey of life through art and through science, you will find within yourself many luminous points along with many dark corners and forbidden places. You may even find rapture. It is not easy, but it is the only journey you have to make, the journey of life, the journey that leads to self-discovery that Robert Penn Warren talks about as being the only reason for living. It is sometimes a daunting and fearful journey, but fear is the fuel. Fear is an ally. It will force you to find the best parts of yourself. You have sharp weapons, faith, truth, endurance, love. And when you discover your possession of these things, they have a grace and a power that uplifts and ennobles and emboldens and inspires. If you jump off the cliff, you will be surprised to find that you have wings, but you can't jump unless you have faith. And then you still have to learn how to use your wings. That is a struggle that requires endurance. You have to go into yourself and find whatever it is that you are looking for. Art that doesn't come from the self is fake art. It's posture and bluff. It's posturing. It's posing. It's watching and listening to itself. It's empty. It's talking about instead of being. You have to go inside yourself if you want it. You can't be a paratrooper unless you jump out the airplane. If you want it, you have to do the work. If you don't want it, that's okay. But understand that it is a privilege to stand there, to be alive in the year 2002 and be here to 400 years of scientific discovery, 400 years of dramatic and musical theory and practice, to be witness to 400 years of making art. It is a privilege to stand there, but you have to do the work. There's nothing to be gained by standing around. You have to do the work. Making use of the triumphs of your colleagues, making use of their evolution, and making use of the new laws of balance and counterbalance that you invariably encounter when you're working at the top of your talent and taking risks and testing and retesting your truths on the battlefield of life and the cutting edge of the art with hundreds of years of work and exploration entrusted to you. When you accept that privilege, you must accept a responsibility to the truth. And you accept a responsibility to preserve and defend your inheritance. You cannot fulfill that responsibility without resolve, and it is a resolve that will be tested time and time again. The making of art is a daunting task if you choose it. The man becoming, the woman becoming, the artist becoming, the song turning back on itself, empowering itself with its own discoveries, its own energies. In the language of the day, I will say eternal things, writes Jorge Borges. In a poem, Robert Browning resolves to be a poet. Language is imperfect. Any language, musical language, architectural language, scientific language, dramatic language. It is the sea of the sailor. It is both friend and enemy, beloved and disdained for its perfections. I have a friend who is a pianist, and one day while he was playing the piano, he suddenly began to beat up the piano, to punch and kick it and flail and hit it with his head and his fist and his knees and elbows, all the while screaming, "The limitations of the instrument, the limitations of the instrument, the limitations of the instrument." Find the limitations of your instrument. That is a wonderful place to be. You have had to traverse a great expanse. You would have to have toiled in the mines and graced the highest spheres that Borges speaks of. find the limitations of your art and your discipline. It will serve you well. Leave no stone unturned in your pursuit of excellence, in your pursuit of self-fulfillment and the highest of possibilities for your art. Most of them will turn up snails, but all of them will lead you to another place, another opportunity, another engagement with yourself. Your capabilities are as wide as God's closet. They embrace much finery. And so I leave you with this. It's your world. Make art, but make justice too. Create symphonies, but create systems that allow for full participation in America's virtues and full participation in America's wealth. Design ways to take advantage of all of the society's potential. Settle for nothing less. Place your own value on your work and let nothing or no one disparage it. Have a belief in yourself that is larger than anyone's disbelief. Whatever your art, you stand at the cutting edge. It is a privilege to stand there. Do not squander your inheritance. Lean ahead, language not in the toils of distant drums gone by. Be willing as warrior, brave but bound by wicked intelligence that dispels and frightens foolishness. Conceive, conspire with each instance for its terrible honesty. Remake each era with courageous correcting, and give to each hallowed star its own appointed orbit, and many roads will open for you. Thank you.